Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here, worship with you again this morning. Beautiful Lord's Day to gather in to God's house. Trust it. It's our desire to honor this great God, this great Creator. Really enjoyed those. Look at the creation. Very simple, but yet profound. You know, God said it, and it was so. It was so. And as much we get that right, a lot of other things fall in place. Really enjoyed that devotional too, as well. And that picture, I was impressed with that picture again of the people trapped up there. Without hope, right? Very graphic scene in my mind as I remember that time. But that's how we were, without God. We're without hope. And that was a very fitting illustration to describe us outside of God, with no hope outside of Jesus' death on the cross. But now we have hope through Jesus Christ. Anyway, let's, for a message this morning, we turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, back home I had been pulling out some remembers of the Bible, and there is many interesting verses, challenges, calls to remember in the Scriptures, and I think if His Word tells us to remember, it does us well to pay attention, does it not? And I'd like to bring out one of those remembers here this morning. And there's actually two of them here in Hebrews 13. The one I would like to spend some time on is verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. For a title this morning, I've simply chosen, Remember Them Which Have the Rule Over You. And I think this morning I'd like to read this entire chapter. I know it's a few verses. I'd just like to read it. And as we think about this phrase, them which have the rule over you, pay attention as we read. It occurs two other times aside from verse 7. And so just take note of that. The phrase, them which or them that have the rule over you. Let's read this chapter this time. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds. There's the other remember here. As bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints. They of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. Well, there's a lot of verses here. There's a lot of stuff here. A lot of things we won't, most of the verses we will not comment on or cover. But I'm sure you probably caught where these phrases are. Verse 17, we have, obey them that have the rule over you. Verse 24, salute all them that have the rule over you. So we have this phrase, them that have the rule over you. This chapter is the only place in our Bibles where this phrase is used. And if you're like me, it has a little bit of a negative ring maybe to it. Have the rule over you. We think of ruling over. Wonder what thoughts go through your mind. Maybe if you're like me, I start thinking about kings, dictators, you know, some cold, hard-hearted figure in command that everyone underneath has to do what they say, has to rush to obey orders or face the consequences, you know. Maybe you think of people in the past like Stalin, Hitler. Maybe you think of Putin over there in Russia. Maybe some of those things go through our minds. And you know, as citizens here in a land of democracy, you know, we start getting a little prickly at the thought, the very thought, don't we, of being ruled over, being subjects under a cold-hearted figure in command. Well, surely, I hope we know that's not the connotation of the verses here. Well, then, what is it saying here when it says, remember them which have the rule over you? I believe the Amplified Version gives the word leaders in one place and spiritual leaders in another place. My Bible has the words underneath here, guide or guides. And I like that. And I think that fits very well. Verse 7, we could read it maybe, remember them which are your guides. Verse 17, obey them that guide you. And so on. If you look this word up in Strong's, the word rule, one definition of how it's used here is to lead. And I think it gives us some words that that fits so we can understand what he is saying here. And I believe it's clearly talking here of those who are church leaders. There in verse 7. It's talking of those who have spoken unto you the word of God. So we know we're talking about church leaders. We're not talking about, you know, the president or some other leader. Those who lead, those who guide the body of believers. And so maybe this morning, maybe it feels like we're focusing on, you know, several. And maybe we are somewhat. But I like to consider the role of church leader, first of all. Some things we pull out of these verses. But then I'd like to also pull out responsibilities of those who are called to follow. You know, where there's leaders, there needs to be a followers, right? What do we pull out of these verses? Responsibility, role of those who are called to lead the church. And I've simply chosen here to pull out a single word, maybe have a single word main point for each of these that I see here. And the first one I have is guides, which is the word that is given here in my Bible as a substitute for the word rule. Remember them which guide you. I like that word, the word guide. I think it describes well the role of church leader as that of a servant. Servant leadership, I believe, is what Jesus taught and showed us by example. The word guide, it feels like gentleness to me. Like, you know, a parent with a young child. Maybe you place their hand on their head, their shoulder, and you, here, let's go right here. We want to go here. And you guide them. Or maybe you get the picture of a shepherd guiding his sheep by leading the way, leading them around obstacles. And they follow him. And I believe a shepherd is a good description of leadership that Jesus taught. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And I'm told that a good shepherd leads his sheep, not drives them. I don't have a lot of experience myself or any experience with that. And that is just how Jesus leads as the good shepherd. Excuse me. You know, following Jesus is a voluntary thing. It's a choice we individually make. Jesus won't drive you. That's how the kings and the dictators do. They drive people. They don't have a choice. But with Jesus, you choose to follow. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me, Jesus said. It's a voluntary thing. You choose. If you will follow, Jesus will lead. He won't drive you. And that's the example, I believe, that leaders, maybe you could say under shepherds. Does the Bible use that word? I'm not sure. But shepherds under the chief shepherd. That's the example we have. The church leaders have. You guide people. It's a voluntary, you know, it's a voluntary choice to be part of a church. And we can think of times years ago maybe where some would have tried to make it a mandatory thing. You know, there's a state church and you are required to be a part of that state church. Well, you can't do that. It doesn't work. That's not how Jesus is. That's not how Jesus leads. Church leaders guide. And I believe it's a servant leadership, leading in humility. Second main point I have is simply preachers. Talking about role of a leader. And I take that one from from verse 7 as well. Who have spoken unto you the word of God. Them who have spoken unto you the word of God. And that's preaching. At least that's what I think preachers do. Those who are the guides are they which speak the word of God. Paul says in Romans 10, verse 14, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And the answer is, they won't call on him. They won't believe in Jesus. They won't hear about him without someone to preach the word. And so leaders of the church are called to be preachers of the word. In fact, I believe all Christians are in a sense, in a real sense, called to be preachers if it just rests on the shoulders of those ordained. I believe it's going to be a lost cause. All of us are to be preaching the word, the gospel of Jesus. People need to hear the gospel. People need to hear the good news of salvation. People need to hear that, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. People need to hear about the fruits of a Holy Spirit-filled life, and so on. Preach the word, Paul told Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Leaders, church leaders are to speak the word of God. Thirdly, examples. Church leaders are to be examples. Verse 7 as well. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Leaders are to be examples of faith. An example of faith that is worthy of being followed, worthy of being patterned after. And I believe that faith is faith in, go to verse 8 there, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I think he's saying when you have this faith in your life, down to verse 9, you're rooted and grounded. You don't need to be swayed by the various and strange other doctrines that are around. It's a faith grounded in Jesus Christ. And leaders are to be examples of this faith to those they lead. And he says, Paul says here, you follow their faith, but as you follow them in that, you observe their life. At least I think that's what he is saying. You follow their faith, observing that faith being worked out in their everyday walk of life. Considering the end of their conversation, he says. See what the fruit is. And it should be that which reaffirms what they teach in word. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 11. He also told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example. An example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Leaders are called to be examples in these things. Also, from Titus chapter 2, verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Leaders are to be examples whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Fourthly, I have simply watchmen. Leaders are to be watchmen. You look at verse 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, and so on. Yes, watching for souls. It's another part of the calling of leaders. And a very sobering responsibility, I believe it is. And I think it's Ezekiel 33. We have watchmen responsibilities explained and laid out in detail there. And the duty of the watchman is to sound the warning when danger is coming. That's what the watchman's for. To make people aware so they can prepare for the battle and so on. And of course, for church leaders, it's a spiritual watching. The dangers we're looking out for aren't those that would harm the body, but rather the soul. Leaders are to be on the lookout for harm coming to souls and to sound alarm on these things. And it's a serious responsibility. And there is accountability to God that leaders have as watchmen, as they must give an account, it says. They watch for your souls as they must give an account. If danger comes and no warning is given to make the people aware, the watchman is held responsible. God help us as leaders to be faithful watchmen. These are a few things I pulled out this passage as responsibilities of church leaders. But what about those who follow? Because really that's what Paul is addressing here. He's addressing the reader. Says, remember them that have the rule over you. And he's addressing those who read as following. Once again, I have several single word headings that I have pulled from these verses here. And firstly, I have simply remember. The word remember here that we have. Remember them which have the rule over you. Remember them which are your guides. And I believe he's not simply saying remember their names or who they are, but consider what they do. Recognize their calling, the responsibilities, their work as leaders of the flock. I believe that is what he is calling them to here. And I encourage each one of you to do that. Think about your ordained brothers and what they do for your congregation. You know, a church leader's work just isn't glamorous some days. There's many blessings in the work, don't get me wrong. There's many blessings and rewards in serving right where God wants us to be. There's also times that just aren't enjoyable. I think I already quoted the verse there from 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul says, he says to Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Well, how many of us like reproof and rebuke when it comes to us? Well, I don't like it at all. It hurts. I don't enjoy it. But you know, I'm not sure which one is harder, the giving or the receiving. It's just not enjoyable to be one to give rebuke. But that's part of the charge there that leaders have. Of course, part of the charge is also to give reproof and rebuke with patience, love, and long-suffering, and so on. I can't remember who said it. It was back soon after I was ordained minister. The ordained brother shared with me, he's like, you're going to find eventually that preaching the word is the easy part of a minister's job. And I was, you know, newly ordained. I was just like, yeah, right, you know. Preparing and studying was just very difficult for me. It still is. And I just could hardly grasp that that was the easy part of the calling. But now, several years later, I know what they mean. And I still struggle in preparing and so on, and find it a lot of work, but it's enjoyable. That's the enjoyable part, you could say. And there's some of the other responsibilities that are difficult. Well, the challenge here is to remember your leaders. Think about their work. Acknowledge what they do. And I'm just blessed to be a part of a church with members that do just that. That show their appreciation for leaders. And here was some time back. There was, well, I think it was called Pastor's Appreciation Day. I didn't even know there was such a thing. I guess there's a day for about everything anymore. And some from our church blessed us with various tokens of appreciation. And that was just encouraging to me. I've received letters from school children writing to their minister. Very simple letters. I find those things are just very encouraging. I save those, however insignificant they might seem. Those get filed away in a special place. And I've had brothers just message me if I'm gone for whatever it is, church-related work. Just say, hey, I'm praying for you, brother. You have no idea how much a little message like that can lift your spirits. Be a tremendous encouragement. Remember them which have the rule over you. Okay, secondly, I simply obey. We see that in verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Obey and submit, it says. We're called to obedience and submission as we follow. And those two just kind of go hand in hand, don't they? However, I think you can have obedience, or maybe some outward expression, outward form of it, without submission. But I don't think you can have submission without the obedience. It's just how it is. You can't submit and disobey. It just doesn't work. And, you know, submission is something that all of us need, no matter where we are. Submission isn't something that church leaders are exempt from. They need humility and submission as well. And you find that out very quickly when you get a group of 80-plus ordained brothers together discussing a subject. And very quickly you have different viewpoints, different backgrounds, and so on, different perspectives on an issue. And to find some kind of common ground, could you say, on the issue, there needs to be a give and take. Simply, there needs to be submission. And that's just part of kingdom work. It's just part of Jesus' kingdom. And I need that brother that has a viewpoint that's different than mine. I need him to balance me out. Sometimes we think, well, do I need that brother? But we do. I need him to balance me out. You know, that brother probably has strong points in areas I'm weaker. And hopefully the other way around as well. You know, there's even submission needed within a ministry team. You know, one brother might have strengths in one area, whereas his fellow minister or deacon might have it in another area. Obedience and submission. We need this in brotherhood, wherever, no matter where God has us. And I think he's saying here that when there is submission and obedience, that those who watch for souls can do so with joy and not with grief. I believe that's what he's saying there. It's a joyful thing when there is submission and obedience in the brotherhood. And you know, that's just the way it is. And many times, you know, we can tend to view submission as a negative. Well, it's not a negative thing. It's a beautiful thing. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, you can't have that kind of unity without submission. Without submission, you just have quarrels and fighting. It's my way or the highway. It's not a beautiful thing at all. But submission is. Is it difficult sometimes? Yes, it surely is. But we need Holy Spirit power in obedience and submission. Thirdly, I have simply pray. I take that from verse 18. Pray for us, Paul says. Pray for your leaders. Your leaders need your prayers. They're called to lead. They're called to lead amid all the other pressures that we all face in everyday life, in work, in family life, business, and so on. Life has stresses at times, and they're called to lead the flock of God in those things. And they're called to points of decision sometimes. Maybe a decision has to be made, and it's a hard decision. You might spend hours agonizing over it, praying about it. Maybe they'll lose sleep over it. But after all that, the decision still needs to be made. And it might be one of those decisions that's no matter what is decided, someone is going to disagree. And those are hard things. But Christian brothers and sisters, you can help tremendously. Pray for them. And your leaders will be blessed as they know you're praying. They need your prayers as they lead. Fourthly, I have simply salute. We find that in verse 24. Salute all them that have the rule over you. You might say, well, whatever does that mean? But I think he's pretty much saying here, tell the leaders of your church hello for me. Tell them hi for me. Give them my greetings. And to me, this word salute speaks of respect. I think you could say this thing of respect is something that is woven throughout this passage. It's woven throughout these verses in relating to leaders. And it is. It's been an underlying thing, could you say, in all the points here. This thing of respect for church leaders. And I'd just like to turn to a couple verses in 1 Thessalonians 5 here. 1 Thessalonians 5. This is a passage we could have used for most of this message as well. Verses 12 and 13 of 1 Thessalonians 5. He says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Let's see, I started at the wrong place. This verse 13 yet I want. And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. We could talk about that phrase and what it means. Some of that for a while, I believe. Esteem them highly. I believe that's respect he's calling us to. But this last part of the phrase caught my eye. Esteem them highly for their work's sake. For their work's sake. He doesn't say esteem them highly because they're just wonderful people. They do it just right. They're 5-star leaders. You know, no, it says, for their work's sake. Because of the place God has called them to, because of the office they fill, what they do in God's kingdom, laboring for Him. And I think it's a principle taught here and in other scriptures, that there are positions God has called people to God has placed them in that we are called to respect. You know, whether I feel that person is worthy of the respect or not. You think of leaders of the land. We're called to respect them. You know, some people might say President Biden is the most incompetent president we ever had. Well, that's irrelevant. We're still called to respect him for the office of president. As Christians, we are called to respect him. Okay, I believe we're called to respect all persons, but especially so persons God has called, God has placed in a position of authority. And so, God's word here calls us to respect those who lead the flock. And you know, they don't always get it perfect. I'm pretty sure your leaders would acknowledge that. In fact, I'm pretty confident that if they're like people I'm used to working with, sooner or later, they make mistakes. Don't focus on those mistakes. Rather, encourage them on. And I think of the account there in Exodus 17, I believe it is. We won't turn there. Where Moses was on the hill there, Israelites were fighting that battle. And Moses, as long as he held that rod up, they were winning. Things were going well. But as soon as his hands got so tired and they drifted down, things went the wrong way. And Aaron and Hur came alongside and each grabbed the hold and helped and held his hands up till the battle was over. That's just a beautiful picture to me. And that's how we should be in supporting our leaders. We want to hold up their hands. Well, this morning, I think we'll close with that. There's much more we could share. I trust I'm talking to a group that care about those who God has called to lead. And God bless you as you endeavor to, like Aaron and Hur, hold up their hands and support them. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you.